I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you will find a safe space for you independent thinkers out there, beholden to no party, no politician, and it shows. Today is Friday. Next hour, we will get into our regular Friday segments, a False Flag Friday. I'm thinking about changing that to the War Weary Report, because it's really more about kind of foreign policy things that are going on around the world, and it's particularly these days aren't really talked about, but a lot of important things are going on. And then we'll finish up with what I'm renaming. I've been talking about this as the lunacy of the last week. It's going to be This Week on the Crazy Train, and we'll be able to use the philosopher Ozzy Osbourne as both theme music and I was actually looking at the lyrics last night of Crazy Train. Ozzy Osbourne, he may be a bit of a prophet. So we'll finish up with some fun clips of what's going on in the past week that is absolutely insane. I am going to start the show before I get to talking about GOP convention and Trump's speech, which I did not see. I'll explain that in just a second. I'll start with my quotes of the day, and I read some of these or some similar quotes last week at the end of the DNC confab there. Here we go. This is George Washington. I know I talk to a lot of constitutional conservatives out there. Here's George Washington. Let me warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party. That was George Washington in his farewell address, September 19th of 1796. How about John Adams? Any John Adams fans out there? You think John Adams, you think any of the founding fathers, you think they kind of had a clue? Kind of felt like they were pretty smart guys. Could kind of see the effects of political parties, and so they tried to warn us, and these quotes have lasted. We just have decided to ignore them. Here is John Adams in a letter October 2nd of 1780. He said, there is nothing which I dread so much as a division of the Republic into two great parties, each arranged under its leader and concerting measures in opposition to each other. This, in my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under our Constitution. That's John Adams. There is nothing which I dread so much as a division of this Republic into two great parties, each arranged under its leader and concerting measures in opposition to each other. This, in my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under our Constitution. And Thomas Jefferson, well, Tommy J., he said, I never submitted the whole system of my opinions to the creed of any party of man whatever, in religion, in philosophy, in politics, or in anything else, where I was capable of thinking for myself. Such an addiction is the last degradation of a free and moral agent. I'm going to read that one more time as this safe space for independent thought here, not beholden to any party or any politician. In the spirit of Thomas Jefferson, quite obviously, he said, I never submitted the whole system of my opinions to the creed of any party of men, whatever, in religion, in philosophy, in politics, or in anything else where I was capable of thinking for myself. Such an addiction is the last degradation of a free and moral agent. And the Founding Fathers were right again. Much of what we see around the country right now is a result of the tribalism insanity created by this two-party system that has been designed to divide us. It's working quite well for those at the top of the system. Not so great for the people in the streets right now. It seems to me that the action last night was really after the GOP convention. I did not watch it. I did not watch Trump's speech. I'm going to talk about that in just a second here. But I did wake up to the news and saw the footage of Rand Paul being chased down the street by the angry mob. I got to tell you, people on the left, if you got a problem with any politicians up in Washington, D.C., Rand Paul should be pretty far down on your list. He really kind of seeks to leave you alone as a libertarian-minded Republican. But, you know, I wouldn't say that the mobs that are out there right now are, they're not going to be accused of any doing any deep thinking. So I guess it was just anybody that you saw was fair game. But it looks like there was quite a bit of problems out there last night after the convention. I didn't watch the speech last night. I'm not a fan of speeches, but let me say this first, because I'm basically going to, it's probably going to be a bit of a trigger alert I need to issue here for people, but let me say this first. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are complete disaster. Obama was a con man. Biden is a career parasite with an unimpressive record of anything, and he defines the swamp. He's actually even quite a warmonger, too, which is really interesting. A lot of the warmongering neocons have gone over to the Biden campaign. A lot of the Republican neocon warmongers are siding with Joe Biden. I don't know of a redeemable thing about Joe Biden. He's creepy, and he's obviously got some mental health issues, both cognitively and emotionally. Kamala Harris is a pandering ladder climber with no interesting or intelligent policies and a horrible record, really, of treating people with complete disregard. Now, at this point, I don't think we really have to fear either one of Biden or Harris, because I believe the evidence is becoming overwhelming that the DNC is trying to lose this election, actively trying to take a dive in a very public way to me by putting up these candidates. Kamala Harris is not even, she's not popular with the vast majority of Democrats. Joe Biden probably picked the one person that added nothing and even detracted from the meager enthusiasm in small pockets, even for his campaign. So I don't think we have to fear them. But they are wildly unimpressive and a true disaster as a team. I do not want to see them as president and vice president. That said, trigger alert. I don't like politicians or presidents who talk to me like I need them in my life, in either party. So none of what is about to follow should be taken personally or an attack necessarily just on Donald Trump. That's just how I am. I think the presidency has invaded our lives. With Obama, he decided to overhaul the healthcare system. Now, actually, the health insurance industry did, but the bottom line is they name it after him, and he's the champion for it and runs it through. And so I'm not a fan of presidents at this point. They're too powerful. They're too intrusive. The federal government is too big, and politics is destroying this country. As the founding fathers warned us some 240 years ago, they warned us of exactly what we're doing right now. So anyway, I'm going to take some guesses at what Trump's speech was about. I did see it was about 70 minutes long. So I'm going to go through what I believe was probably in it. You can score me at home. And I'm going to go through what I think was not in it. He thinks he's a better choice than Joe Biden. That's a slam dunk, right? I'm going to go through some things, some statements that I would imagine he made. And this is really why I didn't need to spend 70 minutes watching it, because I don't know, 3.5 years. I think I've got it figured out. He's done more in his first 4 years than anyone ever, and George Washington couldn't hold his jockstrap. He's the law and order guy. He built the best economy in the history of the universe, and he will do it again. He's created record jobs over the past 3 months. Manufacturing has swept across the homeland. More Americans than ever were working before the plague. That he's the best thing to have ever happened to workers, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, American Indians, Christians, veterans, soldiers, the middle class, gun owners, and Israel. These are my guesses on what was in the 70-minute speech last night. Stock market has never been higher, and it's like nothing anyone ever thought was possible. He's taking on China. He rebuilt the military by spending more than the next 10 countries combined, because for some reason we can't defend ourselves on only $600 billion a year. He's already fully drained the swamp, and he single-handedly defeated ISIS. America is respected again like never before. He's gotten into the European nations to pony up record amounts of money to the defense contractors. Illegal immigration has stopped and the wall is almost done. He stopped traveling from China and people called him a racist. He's the ventilator king. And he's got a juicy vaccine headed our way at warp speed. He's got the best super-duper health care plan in the history of the world. And he's if he's reelected, he's going to release that and it's going to make health insurance great again. He passed the biggest tax cut since taxes were even thought about 100,000 years ago. He's done a lot of things that people thought could never be done, and he's done a lot of things better than anyone could have ever imagined. I actually am probably going to end up watching the speech at some time this weekend just to see how well I did. I'm going to kind of like some kind of a bingo or something like that. I'm going to check off each thing as it is. Now, when I saw it was 70 minutes long, I realized I probably left out some stuff, but I think I probably got the highlights of it. Now, here's what he did not say. And again, Obama was a train wreck. Biden and Kamala Harris would be an absolute disaster for this country. The Democratic Party has lost its collective mind. I just don't like presidents, and I don't like political parties, and I don't like politicians, and Donald Trump is now a politician. He's not the outsider that he was before. I've gotten to watch him for 3.5 years. Done some good things? Sure, yeah. I don't hate the man. When he does something good, I've praised him on this show. It's just that I'm with the Founding Fathers on this one. What he did not say. These are my guesses for what was not in the speech last night. That the deficit has been blown out during the last 4 years. That the national debt will be hung around our children's necks for generations to come. And we ain't seen nothing yet. If Donald Trump gets another 4 years, the spending will... That spending, the new national debt that we've got prior to coronavirus, was all based on what was supposedly the greatest economy in the history of mankind. And we still ran up debt. I would imagine he did not mention that the GDP never got above 3%, that the labor force participation rate never got above 1974 levels. I would imagine he did not mention that 90% of the stock market gains have gone to the 0.01%. Did he mention that Wall Street has been getting bailed out repeatedly for the past 4 years? And to be fair, I mean, to understand, they were getting bailed out almost on a daily basis under the Barack Obama administration through things like quantitative easing and all the programs that the Fed did along with zero interest rates. But it's still been going on for the last 3.5 years and really on steroids since last September prior to coronavirus. But I would imagine he did not mention that Wall Street has been getting bailed out repeatedly for the past 4 years. And really saved by the trillions given to them since September of last year. I would imagine he did not mention that the trade war is nowhere near getting resolved, that all of the wars are still going on, that peace with North Korea was abandoned, that the economic numbers are phony. Now, this is a bad one for me because 4 years ago, probably to this day, Trump was probably making a speech that I loved and applauded for, and how he earned my vote was he told me all the economic numbers are phony. During 2016, I doubt he mentioned that last night. Did he mention that the government has never been bigger than it is right now, that the Federal Reserve is bailing out the elite, the cities and the states, especially the blue ones? Did he mention that he allowed Fauci and Burks to use his podium to destroy the economic fortunes of tens of millions of Americans? I doubt he mentioned that the globalists are richer than ever and that Hillary Clinton is fine and walking around free as a bird. I would imagine these are things that did not make the 70-minute speech last night. But that's just my guess. Now, I'm sorry, but Trump has some good ideas and intentions that could probably help the country. But politicians on the campaign trail lie. And I deal in facts here. It's an old-fashioned concept. I understand that. It's not really new media savvy to want to actually see facts, whether they're economic or foreign policy. It really doesn't matter. Facts are really something that most people don't consider. But all politicians lie and pat themselves on the back, and I just am not going to support that any longer. I did. You know, I didn't support here's my history in politics. When I was a fully functioning human being was during the Reagan administration, but I was chasing girls and trying to buy beer. So I kind of took a pass on that one. Ditto with the H.W. Bush. I was a Republican at the time, but I didn't really care. I was just a Republican because people around me were a Republican. I remember waving to H.W. Bush when he came to speak at Mississippi State. Big moment of my life at the time. But Bill Clinton I didn't like. I was fully engaged, so I was not a fan of Bill Clinton. I was a fan of George W. Bush for about 3 years. And then I kind of woke up, and I haven't been a fan of any politician since then because I've realized that all of them lie. So I have no interest in any politician, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Kamala Harris, Mike Pence, anybody posing themselves as to be some kind of a savior to me. There is no politician, at least that I can see today, that will save us. We need to save ourselves. But we keep placing this trust in politicians and waiting them for them to do everything. And I am finding the whole exercise rather pathetic at this point, to be honest with you. Now, that just is my view on things as people bask in the success of what I'm sure they thought was just a tremendous speech and a great kickoff to the campaign. I'm dreading the whole thing, to be honest with you. And I'm going to be very curious, but I bet you I already knew what the speech was. It probably took me more than 70 minutes just to put together that little list of what I figured was in the speech. I might have saved myself some time from watching it. I just can't watch politicians anymore. So much of what come out of their mouths on all sides of the aisle is such hogwash, I just can't participate in it. I do have some good news, though, when we come back on the other side of this break. Stay with me. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. We've had a tough run for the past 6 months. Really, my heart breaks for people who have lost their jobs, for small business owners who the local, state, and federal government has essentially criminalized your commerce. And it's been tough out there. Just had a hurricane go through. Some sad stories from that. It really decimated some towns. But I got to tell you, as far as a news topic, almost sorry to see Laura go. It was the first thing that knocked coronavirus truly off of the beginning of newscasts the last 6 months, but we've had a tough go of things for a while, so I like to be somebody who brings you some good news. We've got to find those success stories, find those bright spots out there, and make sure that we highlight them. First, it was Walmart smashing expectations a couple of weeks ago while Main Street died. Then Target came out, ditto, they did great. Then Apple hit $2 trillion market cap. Jeff Bezos crossed the $200 billion net worth line. That's the guy who owns the Washington Post and Amazon. And we've got a new one here. So I'm trying to find us these bright spots in a pretty dreary economic picture for, the everyday American. Of all the subsidies Elon Musk has received for Tesla, there's been none bigger than the Fed injecting trillions into the stock market to buoy stock prices in the midst of one of the worst recessions the country has ever seen. And helping along the Fed are regulators who seem to be perfectly content in Tesla's mysterious and bewildering stock spike that has seen its shares nearly 10x off lows over the course of less than 18 months on little material news. It's these subsidies combined with regulatory impotence that have pushed Elon Musk's net worth to well over $100 billion, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't think the system is broken yet, keep in mind that Tesla has an accumulated deficit over its lifespan of about $6 billion. That means the company has lost $6 billion more than it has generated in profits and paid out in dividends. So anyway, there you go. There's a bright spot. I always want to offer people too. I don't think us little people out here get the credit we deserve, and I have taken it upon myself. It's quite a chore. But I have taken it upon myself to pass along those the thank yous from the people who benefit from what we all make possible, and on behalf of all these global corporations and billionaire owners, I wish to pass along their sincere thanks for allowing your federal government and your central bank to borrow money in your name to enrich them. So thank you for that. It's nice to find some bright spots here. Now, one thing that I thought is, you know, because I saw this thing about Elon Musk crossing $100 billion in net worth. And, you know, one of the things to his cars, electric cars, the politicians and bureaucrats in their infinite wisdom give people, I know at one point, I believe it was an $8,000 tax credit for buying an electric car. So essentially there's some taxpayer subsidizing Tesla purchases. And do you remember Solyndra? It just got me thinking about, you know, using taxpayer dollars to boost these companies. And you're looking at the political climate now. And you remember Solyndra, don't you? That was the solar panel manufacturer. And the Obama administration did a guarantee, a loan guarantee of $535 million. On Solyndra, and Solyndra essentially went belly up not long after, and the American taxpayer was on the hook for the $535 million. This is why I tell you all that money you scrimp and save to send up to Washington, D.C. and your federal income taxes, they piss it away like it's nothing. Anyway, I remember conservatives got really upset with the money funneled to Solyndra when Obama did it for these solar panel things. There was a lot of stuff on conservative news, rightfully so. We were all very, very angry that this had happened. Again, that total was $535 million went to this failed solar panel thing. But it kind of struck me, how about the billions of dollars that we've just given to the pharmaceutical companies? And not to mention the $765 million, I believe, that was just given to Kodak to change their business structure to be in the pharmaceutical business. I find that it seems like something that needs to be said. I didn't like it. See, here's how consistency works with me anyway. I was really upset with the $535 million that went to Solyndra under the Obama administration. I thought it was an abuse of the taxpayer. It was the meddling of the federal government with private industry that teeters on that fascism word, right? Socialism. However you want to look at, you know, taking money from people and giving it to corporate state-run corporations, these kinds of things. That's what I felt like when Obama gave Solyndra $535 million. And that's the same way I feel when Trump gives Kodak $765 million right now, and billions of dollars to the pharmaceutical companies for a vaccine not even created yet that's being rushed out and might be mandatory. I know a lot of taxpayers out there that are not really looking forward to this vaccine. Yet every 2 weeks or on the 1st and the 15th or every quarter or whatever, some of your tax dollars, some of those sweet taxpayer cash that you earn that your head's sending up to Washington, D.C. is making it right into the stream to go to the pharmaceutical companies to create an unproven product that you don't even want. Nobody seems to matter. Here's the insanity also of the stock market. These are two headlines that were in a row together. I think this might have been on Zero Hedge. These stories were right on top of each other. The first one was, chaos erupts in D.C. after GOP convention. Rand Paul and wife chased down the street by BLM protesters. The headline right underneath it, S&P futures hit record above 3,500 as dollar tumbles to 27-month low. Nothing to boost the stock market like a little bit of chaos in Washington, D.C. after the Republican National Convention. And I wanted to mention one other thing. Now, stay with me. I'm about to expose Joe Biden. People will like that better as the corporate crony tool he is. And who's covering up for him? Elizabeth Warren. Yeah, isn't she supposed to be the woman of the people, the Democratic Socialist Elizabeth Warren, kind of carrying water for the banks? I'll show you that in just a second. But I've talked a little bit this week and probably last week, too, about how low interest rates have been crushing American savers and how horrible it is for the U.S. economy to let the Fed keep these zero interest rates. And I've been mentioning the fact that where you used to make 5% on your money, now you make half of 1%. And that the big corporations who borrow at half of 1%, they save 4.5%, that difference between half a percent and 5%. So it's a direct wealth transfer from the American saver straight into the pockets of the globalists and the elites. I've mentioned that. But, you know, I got a lot going on here, and I don't think of everything. But the one thing I have failed to point out when I do that, and I always think about it, I don't know why I didn't say it. When you're making 0.5% on your savings, because yesterday the Fed came out and said they're going to let inflation just run. You know, they say they're targeting 2%. Now, you and I know inflation generally runs probably somewhere between 5 and 10% because you and I live in the real world. We buy real things. We buy health insurance. We send our kids to college. We know inflation every single year goes up, up, up. The cost of a house goes up. The cost of medical procedures goes up. The cost of going to the dentist goes up. The cost of now a T-shirt from China pretty much stays the same. But all the necessities go up. We know that. The Federal Reserve and the federal government try to tell us that inflation is around 2%. We know it's a big lie. But even taking their numbers, if you are earning 0.5% on your money because the Federal Reserve has crushed interest rates like they have so that the corporations can borrow cheap, this is supposed to somehow buoy our economy. When you're getting 0.5% on your savings and inflation is running at, let's say, 2%, we know it's really, what, 5% maybe, 10%? Even if we use their meager little adjusted funky number of 2%, you're actually losing 1.5% of your money each and every year when you try to save money. And that goes particularly for the seniors out there who really need safe investments that aren't paying anything these days. You're actually losing, as you get older, no matter how much you saved, they're actually taking a little piece of you. And that's inflation, and it is the hidden tax. It's just another tax. So low interest rates are a massive tax on the American people because they unleash this inflation. And your savings rates on bonds and savings accounts don't even keep up with it. You actually are losing ground. Anyway, this week has been a lot about the interest rate scam. And that's just a nice little juicy nugget just to put the cherry on the top. But when I come back, I'm going to make people a little happier. I'm going to go after Joe Biden. Pretty funny thing, Michael Moore saw this. Michael Moore saw Elizabeth Warren try to cover up Joe Biden's cozy relationship with the banks. I love the left's hypocrisy on this stuff. And for all of you Democrats out there that think that your party is fighting the elite, that they're trying to tax the rich and spread out the wealth, you're so cute. That is so naive. I'll show you why it's not true when we come back. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. You were joining something different. Boy, I tell you, I'm looking at my notes for today and what I'm about to cover. I don't like either one of the political parties. Can't stand politicians. And I'm doing a lot of equal opportunity bashing here. But for anybody who got excited because I criticized some of Trump's speech and I've criticized Donald Trump, I'm going to show you what the Democrats are, okay? Then I'm going to do a whipsaw in my final segment, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to play a clip by one of Trump's own financial advisors, Stephen Moore. I found a very fascinating clip from him. The Democrats pose themselves as this party of the people taking on the banks and taking on the big corporations. And now, any of us that are paying any attention, we know that most of the hedge fund universe votes Democrat. A lot of the billionaire class, you know, Warren Buffett, go look down Silicon Valley. They're all Democrats. It's laughable that the Democrats somehow get away with saying we're for the little guy. Barack Obama, as I've said a million times before, raised more money from the big banks than John McCain or Mitt Romney in those election cycles. And Citigroup actually picked out Barack Obama's cabinet. Well, Barack Obama's old news. Now it's Joe Biden. And progressives are not happy with Joe Biden. But Joe Biden is a tool. He is, you know, when you talk about a swamp creature, this guy has just been a parasite on the taxpayer swamp creature for as long as he could be. Some of the progressives are catching on to this. This is Michael Moore. He saw Elizabeth Warren on the Colbert Show, and it kind of concerned Michael Moore a little bit.
And then Elizabeth Warren, the other night, on, I think at the end of the second night, was on with Colbert. And Colbert said to him, let me just ask you, because, you know, you've been the one, you fought Wall Street for us. So how do you feel about the fact that here he quoted the Times, how thrilled Wall Street is that Joe Biden is the candidate, how excited they are about the Biden presidency. What's your answer to that? And then she pivoted to answering something else, and he came back to it. He goes, no, I got to ask you again. You know, are you as excited as Wall Street is about the Biden? And she pivoted. He asked it a third time. Yeah. And then he finally had to say, I see I'm not going to get an answer.
This is one thing that Trump says that I think is complete malarkey. And he talks about that the markets and all this stuff are going to go down if you elect Joe Biden. Is Joe Biden good for business? No. I mean, they're really, Joe Biden's good for nothing. But the markets and the big corporations and stuff, they don't care. Wall Street, they don't care who's president, because the Fed is what they care about. As long as the Fed is printing money, they don't really care what tax rates are. They don't really care. And if Joe Biden were to come in and move corporate rates back up, you know what happens? The lobbyists swarm everybody who will vote on this, all the Democrats who would vote on raising tax rates on corporations. And they say, all right, if you want to get popular by raising rates and pander to your base, that's fine. But here, put these little carve-ins to the tax code. Before corporate rates were reduced under Trump, during the Obama administration, it was widely known that General Electric paid like 3% in federal taxes. 3%. That was when the corporate rate was what, 28%? They paid 3%. So it's so cute to me when the Democratic voter thinks that they're electing the party of the underdog. Now, I'm going to play you the clip, actually, of Elizabeth Warren on the Colbert Show. I want you to listen to your champion, the Democratic Socialist champion, Elizabeth Warren, when she's confronted with the fact that Wall Street's thrilled to death to know that Joe Biden could be president.
But before we go on to the Senate and Mitch McConnell in the post office, I want to ask you about Joe Biden and big business, because big business was afraid of you. My friends who are bankers are afraid of you, but Wall Street's fine with Joe Biden. Are you fine with Wall Street being fine with Joe Biden?
Look, how could anybody be afraid of me? All I want is to follow the rules. Come on.
That's what they're most afraid of.
We got 77 days. 77 days. We're going to get Joe Biden elected.
Okay. Yeah, but you're cool with the Joe that, like, big Hollywood, tech, Wall Street, they're fine with Joe Biden. No problems there.
77 days. 77
okay.
days.
77 days. I don't think she's hearing my mic. I don't think she's hearing.
No.
I don't think she's hearing my question.
Have,
I think
have me back tomorrow and I'll tell you 76 days. 76
okay.
days.
All right.
Yeah. She won't answer the question because the Democrats hide. Now, look, one of the few things that I can say, I don't know if you consider it positive. One of the things I could say about Democrats is they're usually more honest about some things. Like, they'll come out and tell you they want socialism, that they want a big government, that they think that you can't tie your shoes in the morning without the government being involved, and that we're all helpless little babies, and without people like Nancy Pelosi, we couldn't make it through our life. That's what Democrats come right out and say. Now, Republicans also feel that way about us, but they try to pretend like they're small government conservative people and they don't like spending and all this stuff. And then they just lie and they spend. So the Democrats are a little bit more honest in a lot of ways. But in this way, Democrats are very deceitful, really try to package themselves as one thing, when they are actually something far different. Democrats are the party of Wall Street. Go look it up. Chuck Schumer is like the rainmaker for Wall Street. You need Wall Street money in the Democratic Party? Get old Chucky Schumer. You know, Chuck Schumer, that leader of the Democratic resistance in the Senate. He's a Wall Street thug, criminal. And Democrats just think that you're being led to paradise by the Democratic Party trying to fight for the little guy. I mean, like I say, it's so cute. When I come back, I want to play a clip from Donald Trump's economic advisor, one of them, Stephen Moore. He wrote a book called Trumponomics. Last year, I believe, he references it in the clip. But this is also a very telling clip. See, again, I'm real interested in the facts. That's why I don't watch political speeches. They're not fact-based. They're emotional panderings to the base. Usually chock-a-block full of lies. Doesn't matter what politician at what level. City council all the way up to president of the United States. Why do I want to sit around and listen to a bunch of lies? I like to deal in facts. So when we come back, Stephen Moore, author of Trumponomics, talking about Trump and his economic beliefs that underpin all of the actions we've seen so far. Stay with me. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I'm like Neo, jumping in between two enemies and smacking them both in the back of the head. Doing the flips, dodging the bullets. Talking about Joe Biden. And I wanted to play this clip because I found it pretty stunning. It'd be something Trump supporters should hear. I get voting for Donald Trump. The left scares me as bad as they scare you, trust me. There, as a libertarian, the last thing I want is an overarching democratic socialist government. Trust me. But I also deal in facts here. This is interesting. This was Peter Schiff and Stephen Moore, who was one of Trump's economic advisors. There's three guys, Larry Kudlow, Art Laffer, and Stephen Moore, that are Trump's big economic advisors. They're doing a little debate. First, you'll hear from Peter Schiff. Then I want you to listen to Stephen Moore, Trump's economic advisor, explain Trump's economic policies.
In fact, now he's just using executive orders.
This is Peter Schiff.
Expand government, to make government bigger. Why not use the presidency while he has it to try to make government smaller? I mean, the only way you're going to make America great again is to make government small again.
Yeah.
If Donald Trump has used his first 3 years in office to make government bigger, to spend more, and to cheerlead the Federal Reserve to print more. I mean, when he was a candidate, at least he criticized Janet Yellen for artificially low interest rates and blowing up a stock market bubble. But when he became president, he demanded even lower interest rates than zero. He wanted Powell to go negative. He wants more QE. He doesn't want a real economy. He just wants a big bubble. And when he was a candidate for president, he made fun of these phony government statistics, and now he loves government statistics. All he does is tout them, although now the government statistics don't look as rosy as they did before COVID. But look, I'm not, you know, making this a debate, a Trump-Biden debate. I mean, I'll concede that Trump is the lesser of the two evils. And if I still had the right to vote, I'd vote for Trump. But being the lesser of two evils and being good, there's a big difference, right? Trump has governed like a Democrat. He's a big government, big spender. He just doesn't want to be honest about taxation. He doesn't want to raise taxes to pay for a bigger government. He just wants to print money to pay for a bigger government, as if all that money printing is free. It's not. It is a massive tax increase, and it's going to hit hardest the people who can least afford to pay.
Okay, now, Stephen, we haven't had a lot of positive comments about Trump. Can you give us a list of the good things that Trump has done that have been good for the economy and good for the stock market?
Now, this is Stephen Moore. He's one of Trump's close economic advisors, and he wrote this book, Trumponomics.
Well, sure. I mean, I wrote a book about this a year ago called Trumponomics. Look, I think that Peter is right that Donald Trump is not an ideological free market conservative like the three of us are and many of the people watching this. I mean, he's not ideological. He's a kind of common sense businessman. You're right, Peter. He is a Keynesian.
What?
You know, he is a Keynesian. He really does believe government spending stimulates the economy. I think most people, well, actually, there are a lot. I've been surprised. I don't know about you guys. How many economists actually believe that BS? I mean, all the economists, right, Mark? I mean, I'd say 80% of them think government spending is a stimulus. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, even supply side economists.
They continue to go. I'm running out of time here, but that's Stephen Moore. That's one of Trump's close economic advisors saying Trump is a Keynesian. He believes that government spending is what spurs the economy. I can't get on board with that. And it's interesting to me. I just thought, you know, when you find somebody that's as pro-Trump and is involved in the Trump administration, where Stephen Moore comes in and says he doesn't have any ideology. He's a Keynesian. He believes government spending will boost the economy. And that's why the government has grown so much under Donald Trump. And I thought a long time ago, I'm slowly weaning myself off the idea that conservatism was against a huge monster-sized federal government and monster debts. I hear a lot of railing about, and Keynesian economics, I mean, people don't really study economics, but it is this idea that, you know, borrowing a bunch of money to grow the government ends up helping your economy somehow. And that particularly during bad times, you borrow to keep the economy afloat. It seems completely diametrically opposed to what the conservative viewpoint is of free market. And Stephen Moore just came out and said, look, Donald Trump's no free market capitalist. He's a Keynesian. And this explains why I don't have the enthusiasm for Donald Trump that a lot of people do, because I'm watching the results of what's going on. And I've got kids. And I do not want them in an impaired country going forward. And I'm disappointed that Donald Trump was not a free market guy, a smaller government guy. Executive orders that actually increase the size of government. Now, again, I get voting for Donald Trump. The left has lost their mind. They're scary as hell. But for us to believe, and then again, I didn't watch the speech last night, but to believe the speech that somehow we're righting the ship, if we give Trump 4 more years, that he's going to fix it all, I'm seeing absolutely no evidence of that whatsoever. He may be a stopgap. He may be a little bit of a slowing of this march towards democratic socialism, but with the policies we have right now, it's not going to stop.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right. right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. It's Friday. Friday, particularly during the time of political campaigns and coronavirus, I carve out at least a little part of the week to talk about the tragic, tragic, tragic foreign policy of the United States that has cost the lives of thousands of our soldiers, injured tens of thousands of our troops, killed, maimed, and wounded hundreds of thousands, millions of people in the Middle East, and laid waste to sovereign countries around the world that have not done anything to us. I already reported on U.S. soldiers that were injured in Syria. If you didn't see the clip of our soldiers having to flee Russian armored trucks, it is truly sad. My heart goes out to those soldiers who were very close to causing an international incident and dying. They were outnumbered, they were outgunned, and the reason is because they're in a country where they do not belong. Not their fault. It is the people like Mike Pompeo, the former National Security Advisor John Bolton, and the current one, Robert O'Brien, that have got our kids over there, along with Donald Trump. He didn't get a pass from me over there protecting a U.S. oil company that is stealing Syrian oil, money that they need in Syria to rebuild after a civil war. But if you haven't seen that, it's on my gab.com page. You can search for The Mike Madison Show and look at this. One of the only stories I've posted in the last few weeks. But it is just tragic when you see the position that our foreign policy puts our troops in. I do support the troops. I support bringing them home or using them as a last resort, not as the tip of a spear of an empire. And what the situation in Syria for these guys is incredibly dangerous. The South China Sea is getting very contentious right now. Chinese fired some missiles. We are over there exercising our freedom of the waterways. What's it called? Freedom of whatever it is. And kind of tangling with the Chinese right now in the South China Sea. A Russian sub, I think yesterday, suddenly popped up near the coast of Alaska. That's fun. Now, it's interesting to me. I don't know if we can complain about that. Can we complain about that? We've got so many troops in the Baltic Sea and in the North Sea, right on Russia's border. Can we really say anything about Russia doing naval exercises right off the coast of Alaska? If it's in international waters, I can't remember how far the boundary goes out. What is it, 40 miles or something like that? You know, this is a tit-for-tat game, but the stuff around the world is really kind of heating up. Sanctions, they did a snapback. Trump was very excited about snapback sanctions on Iran. I saw a video the other day. The Russians declassified their biggest atomic weapon. They did a test 75 years ago. If you can find a video of this, you might want to watch it. The mushroom cloud was so big, it went 40 miles into the sky. It is the most monstrous thing I have ever seen. Absolutely stunning stuff. They said that this bomb was the equivalent of 50 million tons of TNT. You've seen the nuclear blast of some of the tests that we've done, and you've seen the bomb dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This thing is just an absolute beast. And we keep lurching closer and closer to war with both China and Russia. And here's the thing to me. Donald Trump's foreign policy is horrible. Absolutely horrible. I had such hope for it when he got into office, but he was either enveloped or threatened or whatever it is. It doesn't matter to me exactly what transpired, but we are still in Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, Syria. In Syria, we're stealing oil. And then we're in Libya as well, along with, reported, I think last week, a bunch of different African countries, dozens of African countries where we've got special operations doing stuff there too. We've got new aggression with Iran and Venezuela, and he vetoed ending war on Yemen and stopping war with Iran. These are two of Trump's vetoes. He vetoed Congress weighing in on use of military force. And the trade war with China has gone horribly so far. It's accomplished basically nothing. But maybe he gets a second term, and maybe he can do it. We've got sanctions everywhere, and we're giving Israel parts of Syria and Palestinian territory. I think Donald Trump's foreign policy is a disaster. Here's the caveat to that. Joe Biden would actually be worse. Joe Biden. Doddering old fool Joe Biden has surrounded himself with neocons and warmongers similar to Hillary Clinton. Now, the sad thing is that Mike Pompeo, would be perfectly at home in a Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton administration. These war whores infect every single administration for the last 75 years. And they're there under the Trump administration, and Joe Biden is surrounding himself with neocons. And we may actually be closer to war with Russia with Joe Biden than we are with Donald Trump. It's absolutely insane to think that Joe Biden actually might be worse. Kamala Harris, President Kamala Harris, which we would all expect if Joe Biden did win. Again, I don't think there's any risk of that because every time, what do they say? Every time a puppy dies, an angel gets its wings or something like that. Every time a fire is set, 1,000 Trump voters are born. So as the Democrats try to give the election to Donald Trump, I don't think we have to worry about it. But it is quite telling that as militaristic and as aggressive as our foreign policy under Donald Trump has been, it would actually be worse under Joe Biden. So that's obviously something to consider. There was a story, and you know, usually I've called this segment False Flag Friday. I don't know if I've ever talked about it. There was a story this past week of the guy who, air quotes here in the studio, killed bin Laden, got kicked off of a Delta flight because he wouldn't wear a mask. I don't know if I've ever really talked about the killing of bin Laden when it comes to false flags, but are you kidding me? This is what we did. We went over there. We found the most valuable intelligence target in the history of our nation, the leader of Al-Qaeda, and he was unarmed, but we didn't take him into custody. We didn't think we'd be good to ask him a few questions, maybe interrogate him somehow, get some more operational knowledge of Al-Qaeda. No, we took an unarmed guy and we double-tapped him, and then we dumped him in the sea so that nobody could ever see him again or even verify who it was if they did kill anybody. But this guy's going around, and he's supposedly the guy who killed bin Laden. A lot of people had said, people with Pakistani intelligence services, you know, people outside of the United States, a lot of people said that Osama bin Laden died pretty soon, either maybe in 2002. I think there might have even been reports he died in 2001. The guy was on dialysis, but supposedly we're led to believe that he went from cave to cave, evading capture by the American troops, toting his dialysis machine along with him, I guess, to plug into all the ready electricity in all of the caves that he hid in. I think the killing bin Laden story is one of the silliest things that Americans have taken hook, line, and sinker. Most people have probably never even thought about it. We've seen the pictures of the Situation Room with wasn't Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in there, very with furrowed brow, looking at the live footage of this raid on bin Laden's compound. Well, it was big news. To me, that was a big play. The guy, particularly, that's going around taking credit for killing bin Laden wouldn't wear a mask. Looks a bit like a psychopath, if you ask me. Delta has the right to do whatever they want to do. I won't be flying Delta anytime soon. They seem like they are masked Nazis. But anyway, I'd never talked about the killing of bin Laden, I don't think, but it seems like one of the biggest fairy tales that was told during the Barack Obama administration. When I come back, just because we've got this False Flag Friday segment, I don't have anything else foreign policy right now, but there were very interesting video that a friend sent me on some coronavirus shenanigans, and I think it's some good kind of behind-the-scenes information. And if it's true, it's pretty scary. I'll just put it this way. When I pulled up this video to play it after this break, of course, it's a Facebook video, and it gave me access denied. Well, actually, it didn't deny me access, but it said, this is bogus. Our fact checkers have said that this is false. So a full disclosure, Facebook fact checkers think what you're about to hear is completely false. We know about Facebook fact checkers, don't we? I'll play that when we come back. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, it may not be war-related in the traditional sense, but I can't find a better place than False Flag Friday to play this next clip. The coronavirus stuff, I do not trust Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, any of these people at the CDC. The CDC is a vaccine sales organization, is essentially what they are. And this guy has done some research into Follow the Money. I'm going to read you a tweet he sent out with this video here. He says, you're going to want to hear this, only 7 minutes long. Coronavirus, natural or man-made? When, why, who? Follow the money. And that's what I believe, too. There's a lot of people who think that coronavirus is a big hoax made up just to hurt Donald Trump. No, there's a lot more that goes into this because this is worldwide. They'll use it to hurt Trump. But that was not the goal of this thing. I thought this was very interesting because this guy gets into the patents around coronavirus itself and makes some very interesting points. This is, again, his name is Roy Anderson. If you want the link to this, you can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I'll shoot you the link for as long as this is up. I guess Facebook's already seen it because their fact checkers say it's no good.
In defense and intelligence and finance, and most notably in the early 2000s, my company was responsible for bringing down what was at the time one of the largest tax frauds in U.S. history. We maintained a series of inquiries into every individual, every organization, and every company that is involved in anything that either blurs the line of biological and chemical weapons or crosses that line. In any of 168 countries. In 1999, there were 1 million patents digitized by IBM, and those 1 million patents were the first time human innovation had been put into an electronic digital searchable format. We took that information and we did a very simple exercise using our linguistic genomics technology, where I made the horrific assessment that approximately one-third of all patents filed in the United States were functional forgeries, meaning that while they had linguistic variations, they actually covered the same subject matter. In 1999, patents on coronavirus started showing up, and thus began the rabbit trail.
March 2003, panic grips Hong Kong as a deadly new virus sweeps through the city.
In 2003, the Center for Disease Control saw the possibility of a gold strike, and that was the coronavirus outbreak that happened in Asia. They saw that a virus they knew could be easily manipulated was something that was very valuable, and in 2003, they sought to patent it. And they made sure that they controlled the proprietary rights to the disease, to the virus, and to its detection, and all of the measurement of it. We know that Anthony Fauci, that Ralph Baric, that the Center for Disease Control, and the laundry list of people who wanted to take credit for inventing coronavirus were at the hub of this story. From 2003 to 2018, they controlled 100% of the cash flow that built the empire around the industrial complex of coronavirus.
The World Health Organization has officially named the
new novel coronavirus.
The novel coronavirus outbreak.
The coronavirus crisis.
The World Health Organization has declared
an international public health emergency.
Well, we know that the coronavirus manipulation started with Dr. Ralph Baric in 1999.
The major characteristics of SARS, MERS, and SARS coronavirus 2, it's a good way for you.
Ralph Baric is the researcher at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who's famous for his chimeric coronavirus research. In 2002, there was a recognition that the coronavirus was seen as an exploitable mechanism for both good and ill. On April the 25th, 2003, the U.S. Center for Disease Control filed a patent on the coronavirus transmitted to humans. Under 35 U.S. Code Section 101, nature is prohibited from being patented. Either SARS coronavirus was manufactured, therefore making a patent on it legal, or it was natural, therefore making a patent on it illegal. If it was manufactured, it was a violation of biological and chemical weapons, treaties, and laws. If it was natural, filing a patent on it was illegal. In either outcome, both are illegal. In the spring of 2007, the CDC filed a petition with the Patent Office to keep their application confidential and private. They actually filed patents on not only the virus, but they also filed patents on its detection and a kit to measure it. Because of that CDC patent, they had the ability to control who was authorized and who was not authorized to make independent inquiries into coronavirus. You cannot look at the virus, you cannot measure it, you cannot develop a test kit for it. And by ultimately receiving the patents that constrained anyone from using it, they had the means, they had the motive, and most of all, they had the monetary gain from turning coronavirus from a pathogen to profit.
Developing and owning a coronavirus vaccine has become a biotech arms race with political overtones.
This vaccine gold rush is starting to bother me. Gold rush? Let's keep that in mind.
And so somewhere between 2012 and 2013, something happened. The federal funding for research that was feeding into places like Harvard, Emory, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, that funding suddenly became impaired by something that happened at the NIH, where the NIH got this little tiny moment of clarity and said, I think something we're doing is wrong. And in 2013, the NIH said, gain-of-function research on coronavirus should be suspended. The National Institutes of Health had a moral and social and potentially legal reason to object to research. But the letters that were sent to the researchers essentially said, you are receiving notice that we're telling you to stop. And now on the bottom of the page, we're going to clarify what stop means. Keep going.
On that particular thing he's referencing, and throughout this video, he's showing these forms. He's showing the patents. He's showing the stuff from the patent office. He's showing all these things, and he's showing that NIH thing where they're saying, you can't stop working with this thing. A lot of these documents say things like, we're worried about the potential escape of one of these viruses from our facilities. You need to stop working on this. But in the NIH thing, beginning of one of the paragraphs, it says, if you've already received funding for this, then the pause in research on coronavirus is voluntary. Unbelievable.
But when the heat gets hot in 2014 and 15, what do? You offshore the research. You fund the Wuhan Institute of Virology to do the stuff that sounds like it's getting a little edgy with respect to its morality and legality. But do you do it straightway? No. You run the money through a series of cover organizations to make it look like you're funding a U.S. operation, which then subcontracts with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The U.S. could say China did it. China could say the U.S. did it. And the cool thing is both of them are almost telling the truth.
So there you go. So the kind of the synopsis of that is that they found this coronavirus. May not have been transmissible to human beings, but they started doing this gain-of-function research on it, meaning they could make it to where it would attach to human beings. And then they patented that when they found it, and they patented the transmission to humans. And I think he said that was in 2003. Funded research into this thing until they tried to halt it out of some safety concerns, really kind of a CYA move. And then when they decided they didn't want to do it here, people like Fauci ended up offshoring it, like the rest of our manufacturing, to China, where the U.S., through a bunch of strange organizations, ended up funding this thing in the lab in China. Now, this is important to me for a whole host of reasons. Number one, hopefully it more further delegitimizes the CDC that will get a budget increase next year. Trust me. The CDC that's given us abysmal advice on this stuff, and the CDC that is probably behind the creation of this thing anyway. So when you hear someone say, oh, this is the China virus, well, it might have been manufactured in China, but that's almost like saying that when other American manufacturers make shoes in China and ship them back here, that they're somehow Chinese shoes. They're not. The U.S. federal government was probably involved in the creation of this coronavirus, was just using China as kind of a dark site to work on it, and it might have gotten out there either planned or unplanned. Anyway, nasty, nasty stuff. The patent stuff is especially suspicious. And the fact that I've known for years and talked about it on this show that the CDC is basically a vaccine sales organization more than a public health organization. Anyway, these are things we will probably never know. They'll never be confirmed by any politician or bureaucrat. They'll never confess to any of these things, and the media isn't completely uninterested in this. So we have to look to researchers like this Roy Anderson. Just thought that was an interesting clip. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we're rounding out the week with our look back at what I've been calling the look back at the lunacy of the last week. Too tedious, too tongue. This week on the crazy train is going to be the new moniker for this, and it certainly makes sense as we have what it appears to be a mass mental breakdown in this country. And, of course, I've got some theme music. Now, I haven't cut this down and edited it, but you know what it is. Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne is going to be the philosopher for this. I want to read, just out of interest, some of Ozzy Osbourne's lyrics for Crazy Train. And just tell me he didn't see the future. Crazy, but that's how it goes. Millions of people living as foes. Maybe it's not too late to learn how to love and forget how to hate. Mental wounds not healing. Life's a bitter shame. Going off the rails in the crazy train. I've listened to preachers. I've listened to fools. I've watched all the dropouts who made their own rules. One person conditioned to rule and control. The media sells it, and you live the role. Holy cow! Ozzy, a philosopher for our time. So, renaming this segment, this week on the crazy train, this was certainly to be expected. Nancy Pelosi, everybody is eagerly awaiting the Donald Trump-Joe Biden debates. Most thinking people realize Joe Biden's not up to that task. Nancy Pelosi's weighed in on the issue now.
Since you asked about that, I myself, just don't tell anybody I told you this, especially don't tell Joe Biden, I don't think that there should be any debates.
No, come on.
I do not think that the president of the United States has comported himself in a way that anybody that has any association with truth, evidence, data, and facts. I wouldn't legitimize a conversation with him, nor a debate in terms of the presidency of the United States.
So there you go. It started. They're trying to find a way to get out of debating Donald Trump. This is where it all begins. Nancy Pelosi putting that trial balloon out there. He's going to try to duck. Joe Biden's going to try to duck these debates. I don't think there's any doubt about this. This next clip is a little annoying. I had to get it. It's kind of like a Supercuts thing. Someone else put this together, and they did. They sped it up, which I don't quite understand the reason for. But this is a combination of Joe Biden's 2008 speech to the speech he gave just a week ago. So Joe Biden, maybe one of the reasons that the left loves him so much is that he recycles. He not only recycles his trash, he recycles his speeches as well.
Barack Obama has worked his way up. He is the great American story. Senator Kamala Harris, she's a powerful voice for this nation. Her story is the American story. That work is more than a paycheck. It's dignity. A job is about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's respect. It's about whether or not you can look your child in the eye and say, we're going to be all right. It's about respect. It's about your place in the community. It's about being able to look your kid in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay.
So there's Joe Biden. Now I guess we understand how he got through his 25-minute acceptance speech for the Democratic nomination. He used muscle memory from his speech a while ago. He at least had already given that one. Let's see. I've got a clip here. I put these things together kind of when I see them during the course of the week, and I just labeled this Joe Biden gaffe. So we'll all find out together what this is.
There's never been anything we've been able to accomplish when we've done it together.
Okay, well, there you go. That's kind of typical Joe Biden. Let's see what this one is. Oh, yeah, this is Hillary out there stirring the pot this week on the crazy train.
Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually, I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch and if we are as focused and relentless as the other side is.
And there you go, Hillary Clinton stoking the civil war that is poised to come at us after Election Day. Now, I'm equal opportunity here as an independent mind. I think Trump is kind of doing the same thing when he says that there's no way in the world he could lose unless they cheat during the election. I think there's other ways to say that. He's got some good points on mail-in ballots being an absolute train wreck. I believe he is correct about that, but saying that there's no way that he could lose really stirs the pot. They're really setting us up for something. This was a really funny one to me. Trump, I got all excited about his pardon, thinking he was going to pardon Edward Snowden or Julian Assange. Instead, it was a kind of a pandering pardon to pardon Susan B. Anthony. Now, you would think Donald Trump pardoning a suffragette icon like Susan B. Anthony would be really popular with the left, wouldn't you? Well, you'd be wrong.
President Trump Tuesday pardoned suffragist Susan B. Anthony in commemoration of the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote. Anthony was arrested in 1872 for voting when women were banned from the process. In response, New York's Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul tweeted, quote, "As highest-ranking woman elected official in New York and on behalf of Susan B. Anthony's legacy, we demand Trump rescind his pardon." She was proud of her arrest to draw attention to the cause for women's rights and never paid her fine. Let her rest in peace, Donald Trump, unquote. The 19th Amendment was...
Now, they aren't even done yet. But now they've already put Trump in his place for daring to pardon her. Now they've got to go after Susan B. Anthony, who I believe has been kind of a hero of the women's rights, women's voting movement for a while. They can't rest with just taking down Trump. They got to go after Susan B. Anthony herself.
Ratified 100 years ago in 1920, 14 years after Anthony's death. It was not implemented equally, however. Black women wouldn't enjoy full voting rights for decades until passage of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Susan B. Anthony herself has been accused of racism for focusing on white women's suffrage instead of voting rights for all women.
She's racist. Believe it or not, but people might find this hard to believe, those were not the only charges of racism levied this past week. We knew this was coming. The first night of the Republican National Convention was very diverse. They had a lot of black people, a Cuban American. They had a whole bunch of different kinds of people up there, and you knew this charge was coming. Of course, what was it? Was it showing the diversity, the big tent of the Republican Party? No, they say. It was tokenism.
In terms of what the Republicans were accomplishing this evening, what they tried to accomplish, you're right, Wolf, I think they definitely were trying to appeal to the base. Obviously, they were showing a lot of diversity in the people that they had speak this evening. It's not representative of the Republican Party as a whole, certainly not representative of the Republican Party or the Trump administration here.
What a journalist. That's your journalist, Jake Tapper, really doing some hard-hitting journalism. No opinion in that statement.
In Washington, D.C.,
how much do you think of some of this tonight was sort of giving permission to more moderate white voters that, you know what, it's okay for you to vote for Donald Trump despite his rhetoric on his, you know, his some of his racist rhetoric over the last 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is often what it's about. It's sort of an indirect appeal to white voters when you kind of put black issues, black people, black Republicans are front and center, as we saw happen tonight. Nikki Haley, obviously a woman of color, and then Tim Scott, and then a couple of other African Americans. I mean, on the whole, the Republican Party actually isn't very diverse. It sort of seemed a little diverse tonight with Tim Scott making that final sort of keynote address and then Nikki Haley making a kind of keynote address. But by and large, you know, this is a party that is right now based on sort of white identitarianism.
Of course. Well, that's what you say now after this election. I do believe Trump is picking up votes in the black community. We're going to see if you still think it's so lily white when it's all said and done. This is crazy, too. You want to talk about a week on the crazy train. Don Lemon. Don Lemon on CNN got something right.
I do think that this what you said, what's happening in Kenosha is a Rorschach test for the entire country. And I think this is a blind spot for Democrats. I think Democrats are ignoring this problem or hoping that it will go away. And it's not going to go away. And so unless someone comes up with a solution over the next 73 days or 70, so however many days.
68 days.
So it's not going to, the problem is not going to be fixed by then. But what they can do, and I think maybe Joe Biden may be afraid to do it. I'm not sure. Maybe he won't. Maybe he is. He's got to address it. He's got to come out and talk about it. He's got to do a speech like Barack Obama did about race. He's got to come out and tell people that he is going to deal with the issue of police reform in this country. And
after he voted for the 1994 crime bill that kicked off a lot of incarceration for black people.
That what's happening now is happening under Donald Trump's watch, on Donald Trump's watch. And when he is the president, Kamala Harris is the vice president, then they will take care of this problem. But
I think Don Lemon just said Kamala. Isn't that racist? It's Kamala. I'm doing my best to beat. I think it's Kamala. I think he said Kamala. Don Lemon is a racist.
Guess what? The rioting has to stop. Chris, as you know and I know, it's showing up in the polling.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's showing up in focus groups.
Yep.
It is the only thing. It is the only thing right now that is sticking. And the Democrats tonight stuck with that, right? And they also stuck with the theme that you said, the coronavirus. You got coronavirus and you have Kenosha.
And as I said, I think with every new fire of these leftist mobs, 10,000 new Trump voters are born. So you know it's crazy out there when Don Lemon actually gets something right. Going to switch into, I've got a lot of clips here. I have to call an audible and figure out what I can play. I tell you what, I'll take a quick break. We're going to switch over to this week on the Crazy Train Coronavirus Edition. Be right back.
All night with the king.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment for the week. As we discuss this week on the crazy train, my best piece of advice for you is to go out and live your life. And if you decide to do that, make sure that you take the time to get out to Your Pie out in Gluckstadt. They're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. This is fantastic food, 10-inch brick oven fired pizzas, you know, menu items, or you can make it the way you want it. Everybody gets a pizza. They also have paninis, salads, gelato, and pastas, craft beers, wine. Got a good brownie out there, too. I am a sucker for a brownie, and Your Pie's got some great ones of those as well. This is a locally owned business, a veteran-owned business that has had to go through this crazy train and try to operate a business. It has not been easy. We need to support these local restaurateurs and local business owners, and this is certainly one worthy of your support because they also give you a great product. That's Your Pie. They're out at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. You can download their app as well if you want to get specials and want to order that way. Just go to the App Store and look up Your Pie. Also, you can get them delivered to your house. Get the Waiter app and look for Your Pie on there, and they will deliver the food straight to you. They are open next week all day long. They're back open starting Monday for lunch through dinner. So if you want to sit down for lunch next week, go out there. Today it'll be pickup only and open during the evenings. Monday they'll be open all day long. Your Pie out in Gluckstadt. Great business. Please support them out there. All right. This week on the Crazy Train, coronavirus news. I saw, I don't know if you saw this, a couple was removed from a flight by a team wearing a hazmat suit. There were two or three people in a hazmat suit dragging people off of a plane because they got a text saying they had tested positive for coronavirus. Now, that was strange to me. Number one, it just makes everybody on the plane hysterical. And number two, I thought masks worked. Why wouldn't the people coming to remove them from the plane just wear their masks? There's a report. A study carried out by psychologists from the Warwick Business School in the UK has found that wearing of a mask significantly increases carelessness where personal hygiene is concerned and causes people to basically ignore social distancing. The study of 800 people found that they are lulled into a false sense of security when wearing a face mask, making them much more likely to dismiss other, better ways of countering the spread of coronavirus. Of course. This is Welcome to Your Dystopian Future. If they keep this mask ridiculousness going on for quite a while, and I believe they will, welcome to the future.
We are seeing fights like this go viral.
I don't have a mask.
Where businesses find themselves at times in verbal or physical confrontations with customers.
My doctor would not let me wear a mask.
Trying to enforce mask requirements, often under state or county orders.
The horrifying videos, you know, they're horrifying. They're not fun.
Steve Reinhardt is CEO of Robotic Assistance Devices, and he's trying to take the ugliness out of these encounters by deploying a robot.
We developed a face mask analytic so we can either say, look for people with face masks on, look for people without face masks on.
They call the robot Rosa, which means Responsive Observation Security Agent. When Rosa recognizes a person about to enter a business without a mask, you hear and see the warning immediately.
It is a non-biased, non-confrontational approach to reminding people to, you know, wear their face mask.
The robot's creator acknowledges someone could choose to ignore the messages.
Required to wear face masks.
But he says businesses are bracing for the possibility they'll have to enforce COVID-19 safety measures for years to come. And they hope to avoid scenes like this.
You have a machine tell you to do something? It blows my mind that the level of compliance is just skyrocketing.
Put on a mask, citizen. Yeah, there you go. Did you hear what he said? When a machine tells people to do something, it's amazing the amount of compliance that they get. Yep, that's a mask enforcing robot. So we'll soon see headlines of somebody battering a robot in a store. This one was, I've already reported on it, but still one of my favorites. Some restaurants just think we are absolute idiots.
Piece of American culture biting the dust because of COVID-19. Kentucky Fried Chicken no longer will be finger-licking good. The fried chicken chain has used that slogan for 64 years, but says it just doesn't feel right to encourage customers to lick their fingers in a global pandemic. KFC says the slogan isn't necessarily gone for good, though. It may bring it back once the health crisis subsides and the timing feels right.
Well, technically, it's not the right etiquette to lick your fingers, but whatever.
Depends on which house you're in, I suppose.
Not in my house.
Not in my Micah Mateer's house. That's for darn.
What does a restaurant chain think of their customers when they feel like they need to take down just a slogan because their customers are too stupid to know during an outbreak, maybe you don't lick your fingers? I don't know if I've got time for that one. A video a woman did. I may finish with that one. Let me get to this story because I just can't resist it. Marvel Comics is up to up to some crazy stuff this past week. Have you seen the... let me read the story to you. DC Comics has continued to bow to pressure from woke trolls online, unveiling a variant cover of the Wonder Woman 1984, on which the superhero is overweight, has a weird purple skin color, and sports really bad mom jeans. The new version of Wonder Woman has seemingly also had a massive breast reduction following complaints that the superhero's large mammaries contributed to an overtly sexualized image that sends the wrong message to young girls. And you have to see this thing. It's a purple, fat, flat-chested Wonder Woman, and this is what Marvel has decided to do to, I suppose, get more inclusive. It may actually be something rather accurate for the United States that she represents these days, which is a sad commentary itself. But they're not done there. Let me get down here and play this woman's tweet, who narrated some other characters that the Marvel comics have come up with, and she did a pretty good job of explaining it.
So as the COVID-19 panic spreads worldwide, Marvel has come up with some new superheroes. And no, they're not called Coronavirus Killer or Respirator Girl or Ventilator Maker. Meet Snowflake and Safe Space. Ow. I tried to find something funny to say about Snowflake and Safe Space, but I don't need to, because Marvel's done it for me. Snowflake isn't a he or a she. Snowflake is a they, them. Snowflake's clearly a she. Look at her boobs. They, she, fires snowflake-like projectiles. Safe Space is big and burly and pink, and he can create force fields, but he can only trigger them to defend someone else. Marvel, unironically, calls these two a post-ironic meditation on using violence to combat bullying. Everyone else calls them a load of bull. Safe Space and Snowflake are defenseless in the face of common sense and reality. Probably. I made that last bit up.
There you go. So Marvel Comics has taken Wonder Woman and made her fat, purple, flat-chested to be more inclusive, I guess. And they have introduced new characters, Snowflake and Safe Space. These are their new characters. Is Stan Lee dead? Am I remembering that well? I'm not good at keeping up on the celebrity news, but I believe that Stan Lee, wasn't he Marvel, Spider-Man? Quite a creator. Spider-Man, one of my favorites when I was a kid. I actually, he seemed like a good guy. I don't wish him ill, but it may be a good thing that he has passed on from this earth before he had to see Safe Space and Snowflake. Anyway, it is a crazy, crazy world out there, but go out and live your life. Have a good time. Have a great weekend. Listen to the rest of the WYIEB program, and I'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.